This is Community Voices on 91.9 UIS. I'm co-host Randy Eccles. If you didn't know, April is National Cancer Control Month. We have a couple of guests today to help us talk about that, Dr. Juanita Mora and John Anderson. I was caught a little off guard by the idea of Cancer Control Month. Can you tell me what that means, Dr. Mora?
Screening and catching cancer early so that we increase survival rate for people. American Lung Association and the Illinois Department of Public Health are focusing on cancer for all the United States for men and women, and the number one cause of death when it comes to cancer as well.
There are all types of cancers, and April recognizes all those, but in particular, you're focused on the number one, unfortunately, the one that's doing the most damage, which is lung cancer. When I grew up, lung cancer seemed to be the cancer, and then it was only as I got older I realized there are all kinds of variations. Why is lung cancer so deadly?
When we look at the statistics themselves, there are 225,000 people in the United States who get diagnosed with lung cancer each year, and 125,000 people die. Part of it is the biggest risk factor is the tobacco industry. Having a history of smoking within the last 15 years or a 20-pack year history of smoking puts people at risk for lung cancer. And so we're trying to get the word out so people get screened, get detected early.
Smoking's gone down quite a bit over the last couple decades, but of course vaping has popped up and there's now dispensaries that have different types of smoke happening. How is that trending or affecting parallel to lung cancer?
Vaping and electronic cigarettes themselves have chemicals in them that can be carcinogenic. Currently, we have a study within the American Lung Association that's looking at what these chemicals do at a long-term basis. Unfortunately, we're going to see lung cancer developing in these actual cases.
We're also joined by John Anderson. And John, I understand you're a survivor of cancer.
Yes, I am. ROS1 lung cancer, young man.
John, I'm glad to hear that you're a survivor. Take us through your story of lung cancer.
I was a blue-collar worker. I love my job. I thought I was in good shape. This is about 13, 14, 15 years ago. I thought I was in great shape. I had some symptoms. I didn't know. I was coughing up phlegm. I was fatigued. A little sweat sometimes at night, a little gurgling but I thought it was just because of my job. I thought I had a little phlegm in my chest, nothing to it until I hurt my shoulder. I damaged my shoulder. I had to go have the CT scan. And what my primary care physician, he said, John, let's forget about your shoulder and let's worry about that lump in your lung. I'm saying, what? And then I had a biopsy. Come to find out it was so aggressive. Once they got me my blood work back, I was on the table that Tuesday getting my left lung removed. Now, this is what I'm telling you about being early detected and how some of the research is really working. I went through chemo. It came back in my right lung. It didn't work. I took medication, one medication. It didn't work. This is what they call biomarker testing, and it was just being introduced back in 13, around early in there. So they sent it in, come to find out I have ROS1, which is a rare lung cancer, but thank God because of the research and medication, I got a medication, and guess what? Eradicated the cancer in my right lung. I've been taking a medication, and I have to take it for the rest of my life, but I'm here, and I want to tell people the importance of getting screened, because if you catch it, there is a fantastic chance that you will survive.
I can't imagine how scary it is, to have one lung removed, then to suddenly have the other lung affected and be worried about what the outlook is for that. Dr. Mora, when we talk about early detection, what do people need to do to find out what they have? In John's case, it was sort of something else he was going to have checked out. He got a CT scan for his shoulder. What do people do in general? With breast cancer, there's a different type of test you can do to see what's going on. But what about lung cancer?
So lung cancer, the screening test is a low resonance CT scan of the chest where they look for any tumors or any inflammation within the lymph nodes or anything that's going on within the lungs. We definitely do a screening test for people. And when they call, if they think they're at risk, to 844-ALA-LUNG, we're going to be asking questions, especially the highest risk people are going to be people 50 to 80 years of age with history of current smoking, who stopped smoking within the last 15 years, or who have a 20-year smoking history, which might be 2 packs per day for 10 years or 1 pack per day for 20 years or any equivalent that way that increases the risk for lung cancer in these people. When we talk symptoms that people might present when they have lung cancer might be a new onset chronic cough that's very dry, shortness of breath or wheezing, fatigue upon walking or just climbing stairs that's new onset, unintentional weight loss, and then coughing up blood is one of the big signs of lung cancer as well too. And recurrent pneumonias, just like actually John said. So recurrent pneumonias, because sometimes there's a mass sitting there and it keeps developing mucus and more mucus. So people getting treated for pneumonia until they get an exam and then they find out there's an actual mass sitting there and it's lung cancer.
April is National Cancer Control Month, and the American Lung Association is offering free lung screenings. To get one of those, you said you call 844-ALA-LUNG?
Yeah, that's correct.
What is it when they go in to get one of those?
First, they'll call the number and they'll get screened. And there's going to be a lot of actual centers that are going to be involved with this project that we're trying to get screened for lung cancer. So people will be pointed to the nearest lung cancer screening center where they can go. They'll also be given transportation for free if they don't have any transportation, because we're trying to bring down any barriers that people might have to get screened. We're trying to bridge the health equity gap and try to get a lot of our brown and black community to get screened, because a lot of them lost doctor touch during the pandemic and they have not gotten back to the doctor for regular immunizations or regular screening. In the Latino community, then came the ICE raids. The ICE raids prevented people also from going to the doctor. So I'm calling for 2026 to be the year where people get back to the doctor, get back to the healthcare maintenance screenings, and do screen for lung cancer if they're at risk.
Of course, I'm a Black man. I miss a lot of people in the Black and brown communities. First of all, this is for everyone, period. But I'm going to let you know the importance of the men, because sometimes, even though I had great insurance, I was stubborn. It took my wife pushing me out the house with my shoulder being injured, for me whining to go have an x-ray done. Sometimes we need a little motivation from the women in our lives, our children, because sometimes we, as men, we kind of think we don't need to go. We don't want to hear bad news. We don't want to miss work. It's always an excuse. But now we have no excuse. And at the end of that line is also a bilingual person. They're covered when they reach out. And unfortunately, most Black men and men of color, Hispanics, when we get diagnosed, most cases we pass because of late detection. That is the problem. We're trying to eliminate that right now by giving this opportunity to people to go out and get a painless 3-minute CT scan. It doesn't even take that long.
We know when people turn 40, and now it's even getting earlier, they're recommended to go get a screening on certain types of possible cancers. Is there a general guideline for lung cancer?
It just depends on the risk factors. It's more of the 50 to 80 years of age that's when screening is recommended, and only if they have those risk factors of having a tobacco history, 20-year tobacco history, or having quit in the last 15 years are the big red flags where we definitely want to screen people. Although there's other causes of lung cancer, such as radon gas, which we do January for Awareness Month as well, too. It's a colorless gas that seeps in through cracks in our floor, in our walls, in our home, that is definitely the leading cause of actual lung cancer in people who are non-smokers. That's another actual trigger that we want to make sure that people are screening for in their homes as well.
If they don't, they can contact a mitigator who can come in and set up radon detection and help them figure out how to make their basement and their house safer.
Exactly. So through the American Lung Association, if people go to lung.org and type in radon, there's actual testing kits that are by the American Lung Association that cost $15. Mm-hmm. People can order them and just put them in their home, and then they get sent. Then if it's positive, then they can call one of those mitigation companies, and then they can come and divert this radon gas to the outside of the home instead of the inside of the home.
With non-smokers, there might be other factors. Air pollution's gotten much better than it used to be several decades ago. Somebody who would be working in like construction with sawdust or anywhere where there's a lot of particulate in the air, that could be a problem for lung cancer and you should probably get checked. Would that be the case?
Yes, particulate matter definitely is one of the big triggers, even big chemicals. People who work with huge chemicals that can be carcinogenic are going to be at increased risk for lung cancer. Even particulate matter from the air, especially as we're pushing away from the EPA and the strict particle pollution standard, I really am hoping that we don't see an increase in lung cancer also from particulate matter in the air.
Things are changing on the federal enforcement level, and that could change cancer numbers then. So something to be aware of and consider if you're in that target group to get your screening. John, you've gone through this. You're a survivor. I would imagine you get somewhat regular scans to continue to make sure you're clean. How is it to live with the idea that you're a survivor?
It's a mixed bag. It was scary at first, but now, honestly, my young man, I'm kind of proud because I made it. I went through, and now I want to help other people. But yes, it is a, every time I go every 4 months now. It used to be 2 months, 3 months. Now it's every 4 months because of my age and because of my one lung. But when I go in there smiling, ready. And because I know my medication, I'm eating right, I'm exercising, I'm not smoking. So it turns out, but yes, it's a challenge. But I tell everyone that I see about the hazards because there's so much going on, especially with some people out here. They're smoking marijuana. They're using these flavored, these wraps for things that they smoke. It's so many ways to get it. You have to focus. You have to focus when you're younger. Or please push this number, 844-ALA-LUNG, especially for mothers, aunties, wives, that can help these men and women get out there and take advantage of this screening. That's the most important thing. But doing it right now, I'm proud and I'm blessed.
This is Community Voices on 91.9 UIS, April's National Cancer Control Month. The American Lung Association is offering free lung screenings. You can see if you're in the target group by calling 844-ALA-LUNG. We're talking with John Anderson, a survivor. Thank you, John, for joining us, and Dr. Juanita Mora. One of the things I've heard somebody throw out there is if you are smoking marijuana and if you're a marijuana user is to switch to gummies. I know there hasn't been a lot of research error in this area yet. The idea of reducing smoke intake to your lungs is probably a positive.
Yes. Anything that reduces smoke inhalation into the lungs is going to be a plus.
Yes, sir.
What are you looking at as far as moving forward from this? Do you see when people get tested, when they call that 1-844-ALA lung line, if they are in the group that you think is most affected, you're going to set them up to come and get screened?
They'll get screened, and then based on what the results are, then they also get referred to a pulmonologist if they are positive. Mm-hmm. To review the CT scans of the chest. State of Illinois has biomarker testing that's covered as well too through insurance, which was a great win because it allows you, if there is cancer, you get biomarker testing. It tells you what type of cancer it is. It also allows you to tailor treatment. We know that 5-year survival rate, if we catch it early, becomes so much higher. This is what this campaign is all about, catching those masses or tumors early so that way we can do something about it, whether chemo or radiation, et cetera.
And those biomarkers, that's what saved John's life, was that they were able to figure it out pretty quickly once they biopsied it.
Yes, it's the advancements of science, which I think is amazing, right? Like we're able to tailor and see exactly what medication is going to go. It's like having the key to the lock that you're able to see what medications are going to work for this tumor.
The innovations are just outstanding, right? I've heard so many things from different people with different types of lung cancer. There's medications out there now. It's just so much going on. The research is working. It works.
It's been years and years of trying to eliminate it. We found that it's been difficult to eliminate per se, but boy, treatment, it used to be an immediate perception of a death sentence, and now it's very treatable and survivable, as John demonstrates. When you get that test back and you hear that you've got it, first of all, you need insurance to deal with it, right? If you don't have insurance, you're going to be in trouble. And second, you almost need psychological therapy, too, to help you work through it. What do people do if they don't have insurance?
Illinois Department of Public Health also provides services for people without insurance. So that way, no one gets left untreated, which is going to be very important. And for example, there's Stroger Hospital or different hospitals where people can get treated, because that's one of the big things is we want a diagnosis, but we also want to be able to treat and help people. And a lot of the pulmonologists work hand in hand with psychologists, because you're right. Anyone who gets a diagnosis of cancer also needs that psychological actual backup.
Exactly, Mara. See, it affects, wow, your family, your children, your job, your mentality, your spouse's mentality. It is so much involved, your loved ones, because you're missing this, you're missing that. But the beautiful thing about it, and I hate to, some people don't believe in this, but 100% people I know that have cancer have gotten closer to whomever they worship. Whether it be God, Jesus, whoever it is, it makes you get closer because you start actually realizing that there's a possibility that I won't be around. But the main thing is that family support. And I'm just blessed. I had great family support. And the one thing that I had, you know, I want to stress out there too, is that I had a doctor, an oncologist that listened to myself and my wife. She listened and she looked. So make sure you ask all the questions if you are ever diagnosed.
And it's a whirlwind, too. As you said, you got diagnosed and within 2 days, you were in surgery.
Yeah. Yeah. I was on the table and it was supposed to be only partial part of my left lung was taken because it was so aggressive. He took my entire lung. But I'm telling you right now, people look at me. You look at me right now, you can't tell unless you see me walk up some stairs or try to play basketball. That's
you still try to do
that's
that?
That's where the challenge comes from. but once I exercise, I stay on the treadmill. So believe it or not, the human body is an amazing thing. My lung has grown almost 35-40% to take up for my 220-pound frame. It works out. And it's like I say, I'm here, but I don't want people to go through what I went through. I want them to have both their lungs. I want them to have some peace. I want their families to have some peace. So catch it early and it won't be so great.
Dr. Moore, anything you'd like to leave us with?
This campaign is all about saving lives. If yes. You feel you are at risk for lung cancer, call the number 844-ALA-LUNG, 844-ALA-LUNG, or you can go to our website, lung.org. That way you can learn more about lung cancer and whether you have any risk factors that put you at risk for something that if caught early, we can save lives. And this is what it's all about.
Tell someone to tell someone to tell someone about this opportunity. And even if you're not in the demographic that Ms. Dr. Moore, the 50 to 80, if you're feeling bad, go see your doctor. Better safe than sorry.
John Anderson, a survivor of lung cancer, and Dr. Juanita Mora, thank you for joining us on this National Cancer Control Month. As you mentioned, the American Lung Association free lung screenings at 844-ALA-LUNG. Thanks for joining us on Community Voices.
Thank you so much for having us.